The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. We turned the clocks back an hour this weekend, Tony. How did you like that extra hour of sleep, big boy?
Tony Kornheiser, I think you mean the extra hour of lying in bed, staring at the ceiling, contemplating my own mortality, and rubbing out the pain from nerve problems up and down my right leg.
Well, that's from golf. Too much golf. You finished tied for
There's
third.
There's not enough.
That's what you get.
There's not enough steroids in Barry Bonds' closet to help me with this leg. Welcome to the PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, the Colts have a new head coach, the Packers keep on stinking, and the Astros win the World Series. But we begin today with the biggest upset on the board yesterday. The Jets beating Buffalo 20-17, despite being a double-digit underdog and despite being down 14-3. Later, the Chiefs needed late scores to tie Tennessee at home and then beat them in overtime. We had conceded the top spots in the AFC to Buffalo and Kansas City. Wilbon, do we need to start factoring the Jets into that discussion in the AFC?
Yes. Yes, they beat Buffalo. And I know you had Buffalo number one on the Anthony Kornheiser Power Index. I know you
did.
So they lost.
The
I know the game.
PWI.
Yes, was at the Jets. I feel that you must have been conflicted if you weren't playing golf yesterday. You would have been able to have anxiety over your childhood team versus the team you adopted in college. So this is an all New York State affair. I watched a lot of this. And yes, and you know, Tony, the thing that strikes me, and well, you know, you can get to players later and the quarterback is a young guy who's got some talent. But Robert Saleh, I mean, I like their head coach. His resolve, I don't want to say swag because that's too easy.
Right.
There's a way in which he seems to reach his players, all of them, and it seems to be legitimate, not hype. And I like him and what he's done there so far. I'm not saying changing the culture either. But, yes, we got to start to factor them in.
Okay. So let me get to Saleh for a second. Because after the first game, he went out across the nation and he said he was taking receipts.
Yes.
And he was tired of, and I want to get the quote right, people who are continually mocking us. Well, as someone who mocked them, I mocked that. And I got to get off that now.
Yeah.
Because they've beaten Miami, right? And they've beaten Buffalo at this point. So they're a pretty good team. My problem with them is that I watched them my whole life. They are, as you said, the team of my youth. In 60 years, Mike, this is the highlight.
I know.
Joe Namath.
You and Greeny.
That's all they've got.
You got to let go of that.
So when I see them doing well or the Giants doing well, part of me just feels that it's probably something of a mirage. But I'm with you on Saleh. He's got enough receipts to open up a receipt store if there is such a thing as a receipt store.
Yeah, I mean, this is a nice development. This is a nice change of pace story from the usual junk. And we're going to get to that in a couple of minutes after this story. The Colts fired head coach Frank Reich this morning after their dismal showing against the Patriots. The Colts managed just 120 yards in total offense in the 26-3 loss. So after benching Matt Ryan and then firing offensive coordinator Marcus Brady in consecutive weeks, after that didn't work, it was Reich's turn to lose his gig. And get this, Tony, he'll be replaced on an interim basis by Jeff Saturday. Now, what do you make of the Colts firing Reich and taking Saturday right off the set of the NFL shows and get up? What do you make of that?
Yeah. So I'll tell you exactly what happened. When Matt Kelleher called to tell me this at 1 o'clock today, he said Frank Reich was fired. And I said, I believe I had that. Because for 3 weeks, I was telling
you, saying that.
He's the next one
to
go.
Like that,
and then he said, wait till you hear who got the job. I sat there and he said, Jeff Saturday. And I went, wow, because Mike, never. You could give me 100 choices. I never would have thought of Jeff Saturday. Jeff Saturday, to my knowledge, has never blown a whistle in the NFL or in college, though I know he did some work on a high school level. I never would have thought of him. Now, I mean, there's a chance, if you said to me that you thought the Colts at this point could salvage their season and somehow go on a playoff run, I would say, well, what are they doing with Jeff Saturday? But there is no chance. The team stinks. And he's a local hero, and he can get on the phone any time of day to call Peyton Manning if he wants to. So I wish him luck, but I'll tell you this, Mike. I hope they keep the seat warm, because when he's on with Marcus Spears, that's great television. I like watching it.
If this was somebody else I didn't know and already like, I might be screaming about it. But I do already know and already like Jeff Saturday. And I love this, Tony. And I'm going to root for him. Just like, you know, this is hard for me, Frank Reich, getting fired. Because I covered Frank Reich in college. Through, by the way, and including one of the greatest college football comeback of all time. Down 31-0 halftime at the U, Frank Reich led Maryland back to win the game. All right, so I've rooted for Frank Reich for 40 years. Tony, the quarterback situation didn't work out there because they went from Luck to Brissett to Rivers to Wentz to whoever, Matt Ryan. I mean, come on now.
Matt Ryan.
That seems to be management. I know that Wentz has to be on Reich's watch because he was supposed to get the best out of Wentz. It didn't happen. But, Tony, let me just say this about Saturday and when it comes to calling plays. He was right there with Rodgers and Manning for the most of it, for most of 200-plus starts. Huh?
1 year with Rodgers.
Like Jeff Saturday can't figure out how to call plays. I trust him calling more than people they might hire.
As you said, off air, he had his butt on the hands of Peyton Manning for a lot of years in order to know how to call plays.
He should.
Move on.
The Colts didn't have the only bad loss yesterday. The Packers, gleefully for me, fell to 3-6 after losing to the Lions. The defending champion Rams are now 3-5 after getting beaten by the Bucks. And the Raiders blew a 17-0 first half lead to the Jags and now sit themselves at 2-6. So, Tone, did the Packers, Rams, or Raiders have the worst loss yesterday?
The Raiders, as you said, lost 17-0. The third time this year they have blown a 17-point lead. They are 2-6. Josh McDaniels went there, inherited a playoff team, and has destroyed them, and he may be the next one to go. I would like to tell you that the worst loss was Green Bay because the Lions were a 1-6 team, giving up 32 points a game, and Green Bay put a total of 9 on them, and Rodgers got intercepted 3 times. But that's a division game, Mike, and as we saw with Buffalo and the Jets, that sometimes happens. The worst loss is the Rams. The Rams had the ball in their hands and a 4-point lead with 1:54 to go in the game, and they couldn't close. They're the defending Super Bowl champions, and they couldn't close. That's the worst loss.
Yeah, I want to tell you it's the Packers because it made me so happy to see the Packers lose. I was happier about the Packers losing to the Lions than I was upset over the Bears losing to the Dolphins. It brought me such great joy, as I told you this morning on your podcast, for Rodgers to get picked 3 times and the Packers to get their butts kicked the way that played out, Tony. And we can forget about the anxiety. The Packers are now the Lakers, okay? Now, you can act shocked every time they lose if you want, like I was, because I picked them in my pool with big points to win yesterday, and they didn't win. They're the Lakers. They're done. Let's set them aside. The Rams, with their genius coach, what happened to them? They couldn't figure out how to keep people every pass off the sideline the last 2 minutes. Tony, they have that game won. And by the way,
yes,
Cooper Kupp,
they did.
Who gets slurped understandably and necessarily for the last 2 years on every show, including this one. If he simply stays on his feet and gets to the first down marker, the game's over. Instead, he slides in bounds with nobody tackling him. Everybody's got to be too cute by half now, because people don't go in to score when it would put them up 20. Because they say, well, I'm going to sit here and slide and waste the clock. That killed the game, too. It did.
Tom Brady should have, in the second-to-last possession, he threw a touchdown pass to Scotty Miller, hit him right here, and he dropped the ball.
Yeah.
Then he came back, and he looked bad all game. He
terrible.
Was throwing it
life
into the
support.
Ground all game. He came back, 60 yards, 6 plays, 35 seconds, and he was Tom Brady again. We moved to baseball.
Rams were awful.
For the last time this year, on Saturday night, with the score 1-0 Phillies in the 6th inning, Rob Thompson went to the mound and pulled his number one starter, Zach Wheeler. He brought in Jose Alvarado to go lefty-lefty with Yordan Alvarez. And if there weren't stands in Houston, that ball would still be going. Houston won a very good series, 4-2. Wilbon, what does it do for Houston and for their long-suffering manager, Dusty Baker?
Yeah, I love that a pitching change, unnecessary pitching change in my book as an old man, a pitching change that I hated in real time and just thought, I hope Alvarez hits this ball to Waco. And he damn near did.
Yeah.
So that made me happy.
Yeah.
Nearly as happy as the Packers losing. But Dusty Baker, Tony, who my whole career as a sports writer, it started covering baseball in the early 80s when Dusty Baker was just wrapping up a career that saw him win a championship as a player. And I had, you know, I don't know Dusty well, but I know him well enough to root for him and like him well enough just as a person and a lifer, a baseball lifer, and I know you agree with that, and as a man to root for him. I don't care about the Astros. I don't care about what it does for Houston. I don't know what it does for Houston. It does something for Dusty Baker, who I think now absolutely goes to the Hall of Fame if he wasn't going already. And so for that alone, I'm happy that Houston won. And by the way, nobody scouts and develops players like that organization. And to me, Tone, they will keep coming back because they keep replenishing and putting great players out there, young ones like Peña.
So let me go back to Rob Thomson, who did a great job getting an 87-win team to the World Series, taking over for Joe Girardi. He managed aggressively throughout the whole playoffs, going to his bullpen. Mostly it worked. It didn't work with Alvarez.
No.
You're right about that. What it does for Dusty Baker is very, very simple. His toothpick, his rubber gloves, and him are going to Cooperstown. It is that simple. He's been a great manager for Houston and a human shield when they started screaming about how they cheated. What it does for Houston itself is a little more complicated. I don't think it cleanses Houston completely. I think it robs them of what might have been a dynasty. But as you say, they are a terrific team with the best bullpen in baseball. And they have added people recently, not from the team that, you know, had cheaters on it, not from that team at all, but Alvarez and Valdez and Javier and
Peña, people
department.
Like that. The best, it's like the Dodgers in the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s.
Could be good for a long time. Let us take a break. Coming up, Alabama losing to LSU was a huge headline, but was it the most surprising development of the college football weekend?
No, that happened a little further north. Dolphins won the game, but Justin Fields, my opinion is, he stole the show. Doesn't give us a W, but he looked better than
Rodgers.
Do you
know in the last three games, Houston batted 101, and they had three runs in 30 innings?
Mm-hmm.
Philly batted that. Because Houston's bullpen shut.
Pardon the interruption is presented by Johnny Walker. Keep walking. Please drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Pardon the interruption is brought to you by Johnny Walker. Please drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
Johnny Walker Blues, send me a big box of that. Time to find out what's popping with the populace in mail time. Here we go.
Mail time!
What was the most surprising development in the college football weekend?
For me, that's easy, Tone. And I watched everything on Saturday until deep in the night, watching my man Caleb Williams in USC put up points and be involved in another exciting game. The biggest surprise was Notre Dame handling Clemson. Not Notre Dame playing at home in South Bend in Notre Dame Stadium under touchdown Jesus, winning a game against Clemson. Notre Dame handling Clemson. It's 28-0. I want to take a picture of the screen just to go, my God, what result is this? And they have recovered since losing those first two games under a new coach. Good for them. That was the surprise of the day.
I'm not going to disagree with that. I think over time, we might think Alabama losing to LSU was the most surprising thing because they're probably out of the playoffs now. And that doesn't happen much for us not to see Alabama in the playoffs. I don't know that there's a path to get to the SEC championship and play against Georgia. I wasn't surprised by Georgia beating Tennessee. They pounded Oregon in the first game, which is a number of 5 or 6 teams, and they pounded Tennessee. I will tell you the biggest surprise, I believe, in the country are the TCU players waking up to realize we got a chance. If we stay undefeated, we can get into the playoffs, even though after the first week of balloting, it looked like TCU had no chance in that whatsoever. So I think they're the most surprised people
in the country. All right, I know the game might have started a little late for you, but Notre Dame beating the daylights out of Clemson.
I said I agreed with you.
All right.
I said I agreed with you.
Got to verify.
I don't want to just agree completely.
Got to verify,
listen,
Holmes.
Go back, watch the show. You'll see I agree
with you.
I'll
watch it tomorrow.
Last one.
The Dolphins beat the Bears, but do the Bears have more to be excited about?
The Bears have something to be excited about. You get excited about winning, and they can't do that. But the head coach can't worry about that. Neither can the quarterback because they had a defense traded out from under them, you know, in back-to-back weeks. Justin Fields did something, Tony. You know, we don't know about quarterback Chicago. We don't really have them. So other than Jim McMahon, you got to go back, 80 years to Sid Luckman to find
Sid
the guy
Luckman.
Who's inspired this much excitement in Chicago at that position. And the numbers he put up yesterday were, and I'm going to say this, people can go crazy if they want. Those numbers reminded me of two guys I watched my whole life, Gale Sayers and Walter Payton. I know you can't play quarterback that way forever, not for long, as they say, NFL, because you get hurt, you get knocked out. But for yesterday, Tony, it was so exciting to see Justin Fields and come along and mature and a coach and a coordinator coach an offense and a game plan around him, unlike the last guy who should have been fired before he was fired. It was great. It was exciting. It was inspiring.
Those are your Bears.
And we
got
hosed.
People who don't have a Chicago-centric show. For the rest of the country,
hosed.
The answer would be Miami. Miami is now 6-3. The three games they lost, Tua either didn't play at all or wasn't available at the end. He is 6-0 as
he's
a starter.
Great.
He's 3-0 since coming back from injury, and he's got 7 touchdown passes. He's got no interceptions and the highest quarterback rating in the NFL. So when he's available, you can be excited. There's room at the top of the AFC, as we talked about earlier
they
in
can
the
be
show.
One.
For Tua in
they
Miami.
They can get there.
They could.
And we got hosed.
Let's take
officials,
one last break.
Nice job out of you.
Still
way to go.
To come, did yesterday's win make us believe in the Vikings? No.
Defensive pass interference is the call.
No.
College basketball season has already started. Who's worth watching? That officiating crew at Soldier Field yesterday, they weren't worth watching. They should be downgraded. They should be suspended for a week.
Can I ask you a question? Did you watch the Bears game? Did you?
You know I did.
I get the sense you did.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and The Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Pardon the Interruption is presented by Johnny Walker. Keep walking. Please drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
Happy time, people. Happy 50th birthday, Haseem Rahman. In April of 2001, the American heavyweight scored one of the greatest upsets of all time. No, it's not Cassius Clay as he was known then, knocking out Sonny Liston.
Footage.
The enduring image being Clay, arms over his head, dancing around the ring in disbelief. No. It's not Buster Douglas beating Mike Tyson, the enduring image being Tyson crawling around the ring looking for his mouthpiece. But Rahman became one of only two men to ever beat Lennox Lewis. A 20-1 underdog, Rahman knocked out Lewis to win the WBC, IBF, and IBO titles. Oh. His reign as heavyweight champion was brief. Lewis regained all the belts that November by returning the favor and knocking out Rahman.
But Tony, Lennox Lewis was so big. I mean, he's much bigger than, say, Sonny Liston. He's bigger even than George Foreman. And that right hand from Rahman, I mean, it just took him out. There was nothing like it when there was real heavyweight fighting. Not MMA, please. Don't tell me that's, like, iconic, like heavyweight championship fights, because it ain't.
Happy anniversary, Antonio Freeman. On this day 22 years ago, the Packers wide receiver held on to what appeared at first to be an interception and then an incomplete pass. But the ball never hit the ground. Freeman got it in his hands after it rolled off his back. And since he was never touched, Freeman got up and sprinted to the end zone for a walk-off overtime win over Minnesota. As it happened on a Monday night, it is referred to in Packer lore as the Monday Night Miracle. Our friend Al Michaels had the call, and you can hear him say of Freeman, he did what? Aaron Rodgers would probably welcome the 50-year-old Freeman to the Packers right now.
Tony, all these highlights, you know, you see the Vikings, the Bears, he owns the Bears, even though they lost to the Lions, they own everybody in the division. Vikings, Lions, Bears, too. That's why it was good to see them lose yesterday. Lose.
Happy trails to a 10-point fourth quarter lead for Washington. The Commanders not only had to endure Kirk Cousins coming back to the stadium where his career started and beating the Washington football team by engineering a late fourth quarter touchdown pass to Dalvin Cook and then another drive to win the game on a field goal. But if the Washington team goes on social media, they can find footage of Cousins celebrating the win by leading the Vikings to say, 1, 2, 3, you like that? In the post game. And more footage of Cousins dancing shirtless on the team flight back to Minnesota. Cousins managed only 7 points through three quarters, but in the pressure of the fourth, he had the right stuff. He did.
That was such a choking dog loss by the Washington football team, by whatever name they're playing under. Choking dog. They handed it over. It was worse than what the Rams did in their game. Please, please. Vikings get away with it.
No,
good for them,
no.
Vikings are contenders.
No,
they are.
No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't worse than the Rams.
Yes, it was.
Let's go to the big finish. Men's college basketball season started today. Who is worth watching?
Nobody's worth watching in college basketball before Thanksgiving. They shouldn't start this until December 1st. Stop. They're going to start this season soon around Labor Day. It's too early, and I love college hoops. Mets closer Edwin Diaz reportedly agreed to a 5-year, $110 million contract. Is that a big deal?
It's the most money ever given to a reliever. These guys flame out in 2 years usually. Wow. The Bucks tried to make it 10-0 tonight in Atlanta. Do you like their chances?
I got the Hawks winning, and if Cleveland can win at the Clippers back-to-back with beating the Lakers last night, Cleveland will be 9-1 just like the Bucks. Pay attention to the Cavaliers. I bet LeBron is. Fight Line won the Breeders' Cup Classic. Joey Logano won the NASCAR Championship. What's the bigger deal?
It's not even close. It's Flight Line. People in the know will tell you that Flight Line may be the best Colt since Secretariat.
Who's in the
last
know?
One, Monday Night Football. Ravens at Saints. Who you got, big
Luckily,
boy?
Luckily, I got a clicker. I'm not sure I'm going to stay with that one all that long. The Ravens should win comfortably, Tone. I know they were upset yesterday. Comfortably, Ravens.
In my ear, I'm told the best Colt since Johnny Unitas. I like that. We're out of time. We'll try and do better the next time. And to Bill and Molly and Peter and Stephanie, shout out.
Same time tomorrow, knuckleheads. And now to get you to Monday Night Football, here's Susie Culver and the Countdown crew, knuckleheads.
Courtney and I played with them over the weekend in the Barker Cup.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.